the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Is your kingdom not magical anymore? Is your world too small these days? Do churros not cheer you up anymore? If so, we invite you to enter our portal to a whole new world. At the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast at onceuponatimepodcast.com. Jeff and Colleen Roney will guide you through the episodes of ABC TV's Once Upon a Time, just like a VIP tour. No fast pass or magic band needed, just faith, trust, and an iTunes subscription.
We'd like you to be our guest, dearies. With a little magic and a price to seal the deal, all your dreams can come true. Nah.
Find your happy place at onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin around your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest.
Hello and welcome to show number 40 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to get prepared for the Food and Wine Festival that Epcot has every year. And what better way to get prepared than review the 2013 Food and Wine? We're lucky enough to have a couple co-hosts that went to it, if not once, a couple times. So we're going to talk about some of the things we did last year and some of the things we're hearing about this year's Food and Wine Festival. So before we begin, let's meet our co-hosts. First, we have Jimmy. Jimmy, how's it going?
Hello, how's it going?
How's Once Upon a Time travel going, Jimmy? You making people happy out there?
Fantastic. Making dreams happen every day.
Very cool. We also have Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great.
Now, I saw you just posted a new video out there. What was that one, and what do we got coming up soon?
So there's a few that went up, right? We talked about the World Cup in the last episode, so I have some World Cup footage from Over the Odyssey. And you know, with the topic of this week's show, I had to go back, pull some video out, and start looking at pictures from the Food and Wine Festival 2013, and I'm hungry. I am so ready to go.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, before we start talking about food, we're going to reintroduce our friend Jennifer. Jen, how's it going?
Good. Nice to talk to you guys again.
Awesome. Now, you've been really busy traveling around. What was that trip you took for our Social Moms Online, or what was that?
Yeah, I got a chance to meet up in Chicago last week for one of the Disney Social Media Moms on the Road events.
Awesome. Can you tell us what that was about?
Yeah, Disney puts on every year a really amazing conference for some people who have social media influence. And this is a smaller version of that. And it's a little bit less exclusive, kind of a dip your toes in the water event. And we got to go and meet, there were about 100 of us, bloggers, travel agents, people with different influence online, and they talked to us about different things that are going on at Disney World. We heard a little bit about the Mine Train. We heard a little bit about FastPass Plus and Magic Bands and all the things that you can do with that. Even got a visit from Mickey Mouse, so it was a lot of fun.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Any good swag they gave out?
Well, I got a great little pin because, you know, pin trading is big at Disney World. So we each got a pin to trade amongst ourselves to kind of get to know one another. So each of us got a different one, which was kind of fun to bring a little bit of the parks to the Chicago suburbs. We got a little bit of Disney food. Everyone loves the Mickey Rice Krispie Treats, and we also got a delicious sugar cookie. So apparently they wanted to get us hopped up on some sugar while they were trying to talk to us, but it was a lot of fun. A couple different little souvenirs from there, but mostly it was a great time to talk to some other Disney fans and some people from the PR part of the park about what's new there. So it was really neat.
Awesome.
So one question, Jen, how did you find out about this event? How did you get involved? That sounds really cool.
Well, the The main Disney Social Media Moms Conference is sort of a big mystery among bloggers and internet folks. There's a lot of speculation about whether Disney invites or hurt them to Disney fans. Nobody really knows the secret to getting the invitation to the big event that happens at Disney World or Disneyland each year. This event actually is a little bit more open. There's a website, DisneySMMoms.com, that has information about it. And it's still invitation only, but it has kind of a application, let us know you're interested sort of announcement. So that's kind of how I got plugged in with the people that run that.
Cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it was an awesome experience.
Yeah, it was really neat. And hopefully, I would love for it to, you know, turn into some more opportunities to hear about the things, you know, we all love to talk about and hear about on a regular basis. So we'll see where this goes.
Awesome. We can't wait to hear more. And this is Ed. And basically, I'm still getting used to my summer vacation, working on the website a little bit, going back and working on some of our show notes and things like that, and starting to plan my trip for October. So having a little fun with that.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, tell me about it. First time in a year and a half.
Finally. And that kind of ties into the topic today, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. One of the things I'm going to be looking forward to in that early October trip is the Food and Wine Festival. So right now is about the time you're going to start planning and getting it ready. We thought, what better opportunity to start talking about some of our experiences from that than a show right about now. So for tonight's show, we're going to do a little talking about our day at Food and Wine, some of the places that we always hit, and then we're going to try to review some of the different kiosks around World Showcase Lagoon that some of the hosts went to and had either good times or really bad times at. So today is the day at Epcot. We've all met at the parking lot, and we're walking up to the front gate, and we're walking through past Spaceship Earth, laughing at the people getting online, but not out loud, as we walk to Sam, where's the first place we're going to go now that we're here at Epcot for Food and Wine?
I'm actually stopping before that, because as soon as you walk in, there's going to be a large display right in front of Spaceship Earth that sets the theme for the International Food and Wine Festival. It's almost like that when you walk into Flower and Garden and there's a whole bunch of topiaries, you're going to see a great display of Mickey as a chef with who knows what it'll be for 2014, but I can't wait to see it. But that's the first stop I'm making. I'm going to take some pictures of the 2014 Food and Wine Festival and immediately start to tweet those and send those out on social media and all that fun stuff. So that's where it starts, because you know something's different in Epcot as soon as you walk through the gate and you see that.
Awesome. So last year it was some suitcases, huh, Sam?
It was.
Oh, sure. Well, one year I remember it was the Ratatouille characters. You'd see them on the signs all around the park.
Cool.
Yeah.
Remy sort of ties into the current movie, doesn't it? So you walk in, you know something's new, something's a little bit different. But at the same time, if you're not there for the Food and Wine Festival, it's no problem to just go right about your day in Epcot. No problems. Where I would suggest starting the day is to head past Spaceship Earth, make a left, head over to the old Wonders of Life Pavilion, which is now the Festival Center, and that's really going to allow you to sort of get a preview of everything that's going to be happening in the park through the entire day or through your entire stay. It's really a great place to start, the Festival Center.
This seems to be the most popular place for any of the events at Epcot right now, where they have a lot of the shows or the participation activities. And what I've seen in a lot of time is they have some really good purchases in there too. They usually have different little kiosks set up for different types of, well, for food and wine cooking and things like that.
What I found interesting is when you go in there, it's not just the same old homogenized just Disney paraphernalia. There's actually each little booth has its own kind of little different things that they sell. So it's pretty nice. You know, you can get, if you want a Food and Wine Festival rolling pin, you could probably find it there or stuff, yeah. You know, stuff like that. It's not the same stuff you're going to find in Mouse Gear.
Right. Usually it's specific for the event. And what's really cool is that the place, as you're looking down at it, you'll see the different sections set up. Where you'll have a lot of tables and chairs together for food tastings, and you'll have a wine tasting over at a different area with the different glasses already set up for the first event of the day. So there's a lot of different things going on inside there.
So in there, you'll find things like wine and beverage seminars, where you sit and learn from someone from a local winery, or sometimes it's not even local, where they're going to go through a handful of their wines and tell you about them, and you get to do some samplings. There's culinary demonstrations where you learn from celebrity chefs. So if you do a little research ahead of time, you may be able to meet somebody that you recognize from the Food Network, for example. Mixology seminars where you get to mix some beverages of choice, which are pretty cool. You'll find book and bottle signings, Seasons of the Vine. There's a cafe inside there, the Intermissions Cafe, the Stockpot Shop, where you'll find lots of merchandise. And a lot of artwork as well, which is something that Food and Wine's been known for, the different displays of artwork, which I'd love to have some of those hanging, but I don't have any room for those.
That's good to know. I didn't realize, I guess, that there were mixology events there as well. I was going to mention one of the kiosks when we get around to World Showcase in a bit. I took a mixology class or a seminar on a Disney cruise ship, and I haven't spent a ton of time in the Festival Center because while I like to bake and I kind of have a sweet tooth, I'm not much of a chef. I like to eat, but I'm not much of a chef, so I don't spend a lot of time at the seminars, but a mixology class sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely. And the best part about mixology classes is you get to usually taste what you're making.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And plenty of it. Just real quick, as far as the cruise went, before the show started, I was talking to Sam, and one of the most fun things we did on the cruise was a mixology session also. They offer a different variety of them. Just curious what you tried.
Well, one of my favorite drinks that I've actually had a few different places since is the Kir Royale, which they serve kind of a variety of in France during the Food and Wine Festival. We also tried, I'm trying to think of what the last, we tried four or five different ones, but we did a mint julep and we did the Kir Royale. And there was one that has a sort of like gory name and I'm trying to think of it. And I cannot think, I don't know. I'll have to look it up and see, but gory is literally the right description of it. But maybe my husband will remember. I don't know. But literally the Kir Royale has stuck with me. It's probably one of my favorite drinks. It's like a Chambord flavored wine and a sparkling wine. Pretty simple, but very, very delicious. So.
Awesome.
And a lot of fun. On the cruise line, I feel like, and maybe this is true of the Festival Center as well, I feel like the staff on board the cruise in the lounges there, they just have a lot of fun with those classes. And we had a really great time, whether we liked the drinks or not. It was just a really good environment. So,
and I kind of agree with Jennifer. I'm not really the chef. So a lot of the stuff that goes on in the Wonders Life event, a lot of the seminars and stuff, I could do without. We did go in there last time, just kind of walked around quickly just to see what was in there. But if you're interested in the merchandise, you don't have to go back there. I don't know what they call them, but the two little stores that are right when you cross over the bridge to get to World Showcase, right past where they do all the cranberries and stuff, there's this two stores right by the ferry boat landings. Each one of those stores, they sell a lot of the themed merchandise for Food and Wine.
Oh, good to know. Good to know.
Oh, I remember now. It's called a brain hemorrhage.
Brain hemorrhage.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm like, it has something to do with bleeding and, brain hemorrhage.
Nice.
Yeah, lovely, right? Here's my sparkling wine drink, and here's a brain hemorrhage.
One of the other things, the reasons why I like to visit the Festival Center is I really miss the Wonders of Life Pavilion.
Me too.
And I like to revisit it. I think I'm visiting an old friend because you could still see where the different exhibits were and where the different entrances to the different rides and stuff. So it's always nice to get inside there. And it actually looks a lot cleaner than I've remembered it in years when I went in last year.
So when we go down in October, when we're all there together, because I don't remember. I mean, I vaguely remember. What was it? Body Wars?
Right.
So when we go down there, you know, maybe we can take a walk around there. You can kind of point those things out to me because I don't remember it well enough to know.
Oh, sure. No, it was really fun. And everything in there was fun to do. And actually, one of the things in there, the last time we were in there, we did not do because it was the whole thing about childbirth. And I think it was the point where the kids are just a little too young for that.
Wow. The making of me.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep. And actually, Cranium Command, and we're going off topic, but Cranium Command was my favorite down there.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
That was so fun, and I wish they would bring that back in some type of modern creation form or whatever. I thought it was awesome.
But would it be as funny, and we're totally off topic, and I'll stop after this, but would it be as funny without the same, like, SNL skits that you're so familiar with?
I know Hans and Franz and stuff like that, but I think you'd have to just modernize it. I think there's so many new stereotypes out there that
are
funny.
There are people that could do that.
I think you probably should be able to get away with it, and you might just do different body parts to kind of get around maybe doing somebody like, I don't know. I think it's worth a shot.
So the festival center's awesome.
Right.
The International Food and Wine Festival for 2014 runs from September 19th through November the 10th. So it's actually longer than it's ever been before.
Right.
Let me read the highlight from Disney's website, which is what's there today. So here's what you're in for, right? The festival highlights. Each fall, as the season transforms, so too does Epcot, with dozens of unique flavors and fun experiences unfolding across the park. Some favorite highlights from recent International Food and Wine Festivals: nearly 30 international food and beverage marketplaces, signature dining experiences with world-renowned chefs, exciting culinary demonstrations and beverage seminars, the Eat to the Beat concert series with nightly performances from popular hit makers. With so much to do, you come back to the festival again and again and discover something new each time. Great highlights of what there is to see in the festival center, and none of that has anything to do with current attractions at Epcot. And I think that's what's so cool about the Food and Wine Festival and any of the festivals that they do at Epcot. It's just a perfect venue for it.
So, with that being said, what are the dates that we will all be there together?
I'm going to be down there October 2nd through October 7th.
So I'll be down there. I get down there before you, and I stay through the 5th. So the 2nd through the 5th, me and you will be there. Well, the 2nd through the 4th, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, me and you will be there. Sam?
I'm not exactly sure yet, but yes, that weekend.
Okay, so just a hint just to the listeners. We're not 100% sure of all details yet, but we will be doing a Disney Nerds podcast meet, which will include the Disney Nerds group. So please keep an eye out on the Facebook page and in the group for details on that. I'm sure we'll be doing some type of giveaway and or prizes.
I'd love to record some part of a show right then and there, too.
It would be fantastic.
It will
a lot
happen.
Of fun. Yeah, definitely. Believe me, Sam will make it happen.
I'll throw one other note out for the listeners. That is also the Food and Wine 5K weekend, so it books up quickly. So if you're interested, book something, give Jimmy a call, get yourself a room, and as rates change and things come up, we'll make sure that it gets updated appropriately.
Right. And as of the recording of the show, which we usually do Monday, Tuesday before we release it, so it's July 2nd, July 1st, there was probably only about 4 or 5 Walt Disney World properties that still had rooms available, I saw, for that weekend. But that changes up every day, so don't hold me to that at all. But it seemed like it was a good selection of a bunch of different levels. So you had a good chance to get a medium, deluxe, or a value.
And also, since you mentioned the Wine and Dine race weekend, those look like they're sold out on the website, on the Run Disney website, but they specifically say there's still availability for those races through charity groups. So the Run Disney site has signups available. If you were thinking about running something and weren't sure, then maybe a Disney Nerds podcast meetup will be the thing to make your decision for you.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So, out of some of those things that I mentioned, I know I'm most interested in doing a few of the culinary demonstrations or even the dining experiences. Now, as of this recording, that schedule has not been released yet for 2014, but where you want to go to look for that is a website that's specific to the Food and Wine Festival, and that's EpcotFoodFestival.com. That will give you a list of all of the upcoming events, the celebrity chefs, who's going to be there, when, and where. I know that my daughter has watched that pretty closely because the cake boss was there a few years ago, and she was upset she wasn't there when he was there. But that's the type of chefs that you get there, and some interesting things. So again, it's EpcotFoodFestival.com. We'll talk about it on a future show. But until then, let's head out of the Food and Wine Festival Center and head towards World Showcase. What do you think?
It sounds like a great idea. Now, while we're walking over there, let's just remind everybody that the Food and Wine Festival still follows the hours of World Showcase. So none of the food booths are going to be open till 11 o'clock. And even some of the times we've been there at 11 o'clock, not all of them are open right away. So you might want to time out when you actually get over there to start sampling to maybe a little bit after 11 o'clock, before 12.
And that's a great point. Check the hours, because this is one of those times of year when the nightly illuminations is later than 9 o'clock. They actually push it back on the weekends to 10 o'clock. So make sure you check the times guide, find out what the hours are, and if it's pushed back to 10 o'clock, rest assured it's going to be pretty crowded in Epcot.
Sure. And everybody's got a story like that. We were waiting for the fireworks last year like that, and it was 9 o'clock. We had the greatest seat, and we're like, well, we didn't hear any announcements. What's going on? And then we finally heard the announcement. They're going to start in 50 minutes. So, yeah, keep checking that schedule.
Or check the time schedule. It's the only – because that's clockwork. Every time I go down, illuminations, 9 o'clock. You know exactly when it is, except right. During Food and Wine.
So let's walk over and get something to eat. And what's been at the Food and Wine Festival for the last couple of years has been the Cranberry Bog. Now, it did shrink, I understand, last year from the first year it was out there, but it was still available for people to ask questions and for the free samples.
It's pretty neat that you go over there. There's some people kind of walking around the Cranberry Bog, and they're waiters, and there's some people out there giving out craisins. So it's pretty neat. It's a big – it's almost like the commercial you see for the Ocean Spray Cranberry Juice.
You forgot one piece of that I was going to mention, Ed and Jimmy, which is it's the Cranberry Bog sponsored by Ocean Spray.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, of course.
And it's almost just like the commercial you see with the two guys standing in the
There you go. There you go.
My kids just want to know why they can't get in, because it looks like a lot of fun.
It does look like a lot of fun, to be honest with you. I did the Beverly Challenge, Sam. You're going to do the Cranberry Bog Challenge.
Well, that might have to happen after we've circled and come back.
Okay, well, we're coming up to World Showcase, and one of the biggest questions you have with a group of people looking to eat and drink is, well, which way are we going to go, left or right?
Whoa. Ed, before you decide which way to go, left or right past the Cranberry Bog, you get to the craft beer truck.
It's a little crowded now at this corner.
So before you have to choose left or right, you have to decide beer flight A or beer flight B.
Yes. Or both.
Yeah, but are we going to walk with the beer flight, or are we going to stop here right away?
We're going to stop there right away. Are you going to eat first?
Well, I'm looking to get some food, too. All right. So maybe we'll get a flight or just a beer and move on.
Okay, I'm with you. So which way?
It's a good thing to know that you can get multiple sizes of single beers or the two different beer flights.
Right.
Yeah, because you can get like the a 7-ounce beer that comes in the flight, or you can just order that singularly, or you can get the big 22-ounce souvenir mug.
They have a 7, a 12, and a 22.
There you go.
And that souvenir mug, we're going to hear about that a lot, I'm sure. That's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, and every year the beers there change. So a lot of the same breweries, but the beers there change.
Which I have no objection to getting a beer for the walk. So let's do that.
And which way would you go?
I would prefer to go toward Mexico, but I am open to suggestions.
So last year when we were there, that's actually what we did. And that's actually, if you have the little Discovery Passport, it guides you left to the first booth, which is called Terra.
Oh, and that's right. Before we move on, let's make sure we have everything. Now, you mentioned the passport. What's the passport? And they've had that the last couple of years, so I'm pretty sure they're going to have it in 2014.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. So the passport is just it's a little book about the size of a passport, and it lists all the booths in order with the menu. So each booth area has a place for that booth to give you a little stamp to show that you'd been there, and a little box to check off for which you tried at that booth.
Awesome. Do you remember where we got those? I think I got it at the entrance, but I can't remember if you I picked it up in the festival entrance. Center.
The festival center has them, and you'll also find them near the pin trading station right behind Spaceship Earth.
I actually got mine from the craft beer booth.
I was going to say, we noticed that this was hit or miss, but many of the places where you could get them stamped also had them. And this was something that, depending on the age of your kids, my daughters were 4 and 5 the last couple of years that we went down, and they didn't necessarily love all of the foods that we tried, but collecting stamps was just as much fun as anything else we did. So that made the Food and Wine Festival experience something that they remember, unrelated to eating and drinking around World Showcase. So in addition to marking where you've been as an adult who's enjoying the festival, it's something that your kids can do to pass the time as well.
I didn't even realize this last year, is that on the front cover, and I don't know if they'll have this year, there's actually a place that's a place for the stamp of completion. And it says it can be obtained at the booth located in the Festival Center and Future World East. So once you have all your stamps, you can get a completed stamp.
I was disappointed that I did not get a free beer with that completer stamp as much as I tried.
Sounds like a goal.
It is a goal.
And now real quick, before we get too far away from keeping the kids busy, KidCot stations are still available during Food and Wine. So some of the countries have the kiosks kind of close to those KidCot stations. You can kind of double up on that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So let's kind of step back a second, because we're talking about kiosks, but we never really mentioned what they are, right? So if you've been to Epcot in the past and you've walked around the countries, you know, as you walk around World Showcase, there's some room on the promenade there. What Disney actually does for these kiosks is rolls out a booth. Now, we say kiosks, but it's nothing like a tent with some food coming out of it. This is a legitimate building that they're bringing out on a forklift in after hours, setting down. And there are 30 of these things around World Showcase, and each of them represent a different country or a different cuisine that isn't typically in World Showcase, where they're selling small plates or small samplers of that cuisine, along with a beer and wine and local drink from that place. So it really does just take that 11 countries of Epcot and just expand it to 40 some selections, and that's really the beauty of the Food and Wine Festival.
Absolutely.
Now, we talked about getting the stamps that Jen mentioned. You get the little stamp in your little passbook, which says, hey, I've been there. A couple of things I noticed this last time. You don't have to buy something at the booth to get the stamp. You can simply walk up and they'll stamp it for you. In fact, you'll notice that there's a line where you order, then you sort of come around the corner and you pick up your food with your receipt. If you go right to that counter where the food is, they typically will stamp that for you.
Isn't that cheating?
Well, not if you're 6.
Not if you're 6 and you're happy and you're having
Sam.
Fun.
Sam, I'm in for Sam.
Well, there's no alcoholic beverage at the cheese booth, which I don't know where the country of cheese is, but there is a cheese booth. We'll get there in a second.
And if you really
He's
think
there,
about
though,
it.
There's no country of dessert and champagne either, but I can stop at that booth multiple times.
There you go. There you go. Now, one thing that was new, I'm cheating right now because I'm looking at a 2012 book and I'm looking at a 2013 passbook. And one of the things that they added, one of the things they added in 2013 is something they call the Kids' Choices. So they've added in some countries this try it menu, signified by a little T, and there are specific dishes for kids to try to see if they might like something, which sort of engages them a little more as well, which I think is good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, we're coming up to one of the first kiosks on the list here. On the way to Mexico, called Terra. Now, this is something I don't recognize from the previous year that I went. So what's this one about, guys?
Terra is the first booth we skipped when me and my wife went. It is a completely vegetarian booth.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean it's not good.
No. But the second booth is Brazil, and they had the crispy pork belly.
And not to argue, because I don't specifically know the difference, but because I know some people will care about this. It's actually all vegan. So even if you're vegan and even take maybe a stricter dietary preference, then this is an all vegan booth. So again, I don't specifically know what defines that as different, but I'm looking at it now and it looks like it qualifies as that. So
yeah.
See, now I would even try something here just for something different.
There's vegan Chardonnay.
One of the menu items is tricken chicken curry.
Right.
Which is funny to me.
Right. Well, it's funny how it's a vegan booth, but they still kind of relate back to the meat names, like the beefless tips. Well, I guess they got to explain what the meal is going to be or what the. Didn't try anything, Jimmy?
No. Let me tell you, when we decided we were going to go down, one of the biggest things we did want to try was the crispy pork belly. So we actually walked by Terra incidentally, and then when we were already at Brazil, we noticed it. And I'm like, hey, we skipped one.
Hey, what's that? What did we skip? What's better? There's a beer.
And I said, oh, never mind. It's vegetarian food.
Well, I tell you what, you just like made me forget about Terra altogether. Let's move on to Brazil and talk about that pork belly.
I have posted a picture of it last year. It was delicious.
Now,
pork belly with black beans, onions, avocado, and cilantro.
Now, pork belly is just like one big, thick piece of bacon, right?
Big, huge, thick piece of bacon.
I'm liking it. I don't remember getting this.
It's not as, I would tell you, it's not as, because bacon's so thin, I mean, it's much saltier. This is a little more savory than I guess bacon would be. But yeah, pretty much the same thing.
Awesome. Now, I tell you what, if anybody did the food and they also did the matching wine or beer, speak up too. I want to hear how those went.
Sometimes I did just the wine or beer.
Yeah. Well, right. Obviously.
We did a lot. Nice. We did a lot of that too.
I was gonna say, because I specifically remember the Carnival sparkling Moscato there, which was delicious. It's a sparkling white wine. I'm not a big bacon fan, which I know is not very popular these days, but I don't have anything wrong with it. I just don't prefer it. I like sausage better than bacon. But sparkling white wine is always good to me, and it was I think they've had it the last couple of years. Carnival sparkling Moscato, absolutely delicious, nice light fruity sparkling white wine for anybody who's looking for a admittedly girly kind of drink.
I was gonna say same thing about bacon. It's a guy thing.
Maybe that's fair. I believe that one of the Facebook fans recently said you needed some female perspective. So there you have it. You guys talk about bacon. I'll talk about sparkling wine.
Perfect.
Moscato,
yeah, right. Okay. Well, awesome. So we're gonna munch on our pork belly, and we're gonna continue on now. As I finish the beer, so I'm getting ready for another drink, and we're coming up to Argentina. Now, I remember Argentina from 2012, and the empanada we had every time we passed it. I think it was really awesome.
We get both the empanada and the beef skewers. I love any food, South America, Mexican meat. Like, I think it's delicious. So right. I'm surprised that I didn't try the pork belly, but it probably reminded me too much of bacon. But we like this booth a lot, so... I think both of those items from the past are worth trying. I'm anxious to see what they have this coming year.
The beef skewer with the chimichurri sauce looks, I mean, I'm surprised I passed that one up, and it may have been incidental.
You're probably still working on your pork belly.
Probably.
Sure.
And then I saw the garlic shrimp with rosa tomatoes and lemon myrtle at Australia.
The next one over. Well, very cool. Now, Australia, I remember being there, but we didn't stop. And I was I'm glad it was back again last year. I'm trying to think, they have kind of the normal Australia things you would think. They're like a lamb chop and such.
The other thing that was really cool is that the people in the Australian booth and the people in the Argentina booth were like chanting each other. Like, who could drive up more business?
I did hear that about last year. They were doing a lot of that around the World Showcase between the different booths and stuff like that.
Oh, it was crazy.
The Greek guys yelling Opa and...
Yeah, okay, it was like a soccer match.
My question would be, and I guess I never noticed this, there's a lot of care taken in like international programs and hiring people for World Showcase from various parts of the world. Have you guys noticed that the people at these booths that are more temporary are from the parts of the world that they represent?
Oh, yeah, they are.
Awesome. I guess I never really paid much attention to that because they're only there
hit and miss. Some are, some aren't. From what I've seen, But they're not the costumes that they wear are the traditional Epcot costumes.
Yes.
So the shirts with the different country flags, they're not wearing a costume from the country. And it's been a little hit and miss, but I think they try. But there's just a lot of staff here in all these booths.
There are, yes. Especially for how many days it goes on now.
Which is always nice because the amount of staff they have at each of these booths keeps it moving smoothly. Each of the booth has its little method of getting into the line, ordering the food, paying for it, moving on to the next counter where you get the food, and then you move on to get your condiments and forks and knives and stuff like that.
Wait a minute. I forgot. I got to go back and get a stamp. Darn it.
That's all right. They'll let you back.
Let me set my food down on top of this garbage can that I'm sharing with my wife.
Which is the second most popular table during Food and Wine is the garbage cans. And
absolutely.
And thank goodness Disney is the cleanest park in that respect.
But I'll tell you, there have absolutely been an increase in tables around
and
World Showcase.
And
they obviously know, and they're starting to create additional areas where there are seating locations.
Right, I agree with that. And there's a couple of those places located all through the World Showcase, which really doesn't take away from the pathways, so it's perfect.
Yeah. And I say seating locations, they're actually not. They're the high-top tables where two or three people can stand around it instead of standing around a garbage can.
Right, you want to get moving.
Which is fine, because you're getting a small proportion of food. I don't need to sit down, but just to have some place to set my drink down and...
Now, the next kiosk we're coming up to is Mexico. I think it might be just a little bit overkill having Mexico in Mexico.
Now, I'll tell you,
Mexico.
Mexico's the one that I look forward to. I really love the shrimp tacos. The shrimp taco with purple cabbage, I go straight for it. And when you think about it, these booths that we just talked about, Brazil, Argentina, Australia, Mexico – these four booths are nestled in a small area.
And that's kind of cool because in all these like little countries we've just visited, it looks like there's a big stretch for the next couple of kiosks, so we might as well get ourselves a taco or two.
Now, you can also grab a tequila flight in Mexico, too. Not that I suggested this early in the circle, but there is a tequila flight.
So now, a tequila flight, would that be sipping tequila, or are we just going to do four shots real quick?
No. You know, there's three. You can approach it whatever way you'd like, but I'm going to sip it.
Yeah, these are really good tequilas, right?
Yeah, they usually are.
It also probably depends on if you're starting in Mexico or finishing in Mexico.
Amen.
Very true. Yes. What part of the day is it? Okay, well, let's move on from Mexico. And we're coming up to Singapore. Now, this is another one with one of the T's next to it. So it's definitely a try it type of booth. And some of the things on here sound pretty good. And it sounds like kind of a little bit Chinese, Asian type of food.
I think we had the lemongrass chicken curry.
Right. Now, mahi-mahi sounds good, too.
It does.
I was going to say, I don't remember trying any of this, but it looks like they have seared mahi-mahi with jasmine rice, lemongrass chicken curry. Both of those things sound fantastic. I don't remember them, but definitely looks like something, as you mentioned, that maybe even kids or people with maybe a less adventurous palate would like to try.
Sure.
I had a tiger beer. Although the Singapore sling looks pretty good. You see that one?
I heard it was very, very, very sweet, so be careful.
Mm. I'll stick with the beer.
Okay, well, let's move on to China.
When we went, we had the Mongolian beef in the steamed bun, which was really good. Just the steamed bun was really good. And that's not something you can get at the counter service there. The counter service there is more of almost traditional Chinese food fare.
Now, is that a bun they cut and they put the meat inside of it, or was it just one big bun that the meat was cooked inside?
No. It's almost like a Hawaiian roll.
So it was a sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Along those same lines, we love the pot stickers, which are something that you can get at Nine Dragons. But as far as I know, you can't get just at a quick service area in China, like at Lotus Blossom or somewhere. But they're delicious. So that's kind of a cool kiosk to try some things that aren't usually quickly available.
Is that the same pot stickers they sell at... Yak and Yeti?
I have not had the Yak and Yeti ones. It's different than Ohana, but I'm not sure how it compares to Yak and Yeti.
And I was going to say Ohana reminded me of Yak and Yeti. So
I was about to say, I think the ones at Ohana are just like the ones at Yak and Yeti.
Yep, so then I think they're different, because I feel like Ohana and Nine Dragons are different.
And I think they do sell pot stickers at the counter service, but they're like the fast food type, really thick and not as good quality as Nine Dragons has.
Okay.
But,
and I'm kind of intrigued by the ice cream ribbon, because the Lotus Blossom ice cream flavors don't really appeal to me. I think they have red beans, strawberry, and ginger. And this mango and coconut and strawberry sounds really good, but I've never tried it. So that might be on my list for this year.
Awesome.
And then they got the Francis Ford Coppola Su Ying Riesling. And I bet nobody on the show knew that Francis Ford Coppola was Chinese.
I did not.
I did not know why he would have a... Yeah, that's a good one. We're going to have to look that one up.
To the nice. Google.
Okay. Kung Fu Punch. Move along.
Kung Fu Punch.
On to South Korea. Now,
my favorite.
Awesome. Well, what do you like over there?
The lettuce wrap with the roast pork and kimchi slaw. And we actually got both of the items here, because the year before last, I got the lettuce wrap, and my wife didn't care for it too much. So she got the kimchi dog, which I still got to try that too. And both of them are really good, but the lettuce wrap with the roast pork is fantastic.
Now, it sounds like a wine that Jen might be interested in here, the black raspberry wine.
Yeah, I did not have it, but it does sound like something I would enjoy. Along with the soju fruit slushy, also sounds good.
Now, is that a drink, or is that just a straight slushy?
I have no idea.
Either way.
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds refreshing, regardless of whether it's $7.50. So my guess is it has some alcohol.
Right. Yeah. Good call.
And it says the fruit slushy is featuring Jinro Shamisil Soji, which they sell by itself as well. So that's probably valid.
Ah, yes.
Hmm.
Oh man, I got to go back to China and get my stamp. I'll be back.
We're gonna take a slow walk to Africa then. In the meanwhile,
let's skip Africa.
And did you try anything there?
I did. The Berber-style beef with onions, jalapenos, and tomato, okra, and pap. Right. Maybe it was the pap. I don't know. It was not good.
Oh, that's a bummer. That actually looked kind of appealing.
You know, it wasn't inedible, but it just...
Yeah, it just threw you off.
It wasn't good. And I think it was the pap, which was almost like this couscous-type substance at the bottom. So I don't know exactly what it is, but if I had to guess, it's close to couscous.
Now,
I did not like it.
Especially, that's interesting. I don't really remember eating anything there, but all of the Africa-themed African food restaurants, Boma, Tusker House, get such good reviews. And I think we've talked on the show that many of us like them a lot. So I'm anxious to see what they bring around for this year's Food and Wine Festival.
This actually was new for 2013. This was South Africa in 2012. So interesting that they changed it. Hopefully they change it again.
Now, the next one is kind of an odd thing where I'm not sure if I would actually stop here unless somebody said it was really good and we should stop. It's the cheese kiosk. Now, it doesn't have a sponsor.
We ate there.
The country of cheese. I stopped as well because I'm a huge cheese fan.
I love cheese.
Now, is it just literally a plate of varying cheese?
Yeah.
The artisan cheese selection, which was three or four different types of cheese,
right,
including one that was liquid.
Yes,
that just turned me off completely.
Liquid on purpose?
Yes, like it's a little cup of some type of cheese with a piece of bread that you dipped in it. I just did not like it.
Wait a minute, that's Canada. That's just called cheese soup.
Well, similar, but it wasn't. And I know country cheese. Just keep going. I expected a nice plate of Italian cheeses, maybe some mozzarella, maybe some prosciutto. Well,
the plate from France, the fruit and cheese plate from the little bakery in France. Now, that's a good cheese plate.
Okay, right. I've seen that one. I tell you what, the cheeses, it would have to be a cooler day. It couldn't be a really hot day for that to even enter my mind.
Especially for hot cheese the soup, which, anyway. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not stopping again.
Okay, well,
I was disappointed for about 5 feet.
It was disappointing, yes.
5 feet, because next is the Brewer's Collection.
Well, hold on real quick. On the cheese thing, two quick notes. One, I Googled PAP. So pap is also known as mealie-pap in South Africa. It's a traditional porridge or polenta made from mealie meal, which is ground maize or corn. In addition to that, at the cheese booth, if you notice, they also sell the brand Bonavine, the vines there.
And those, Bonavine, yeah, that's a great point.
And what's neat about that is now, I think, when we were there for Flower and Garden, you could buy those that wine by the bottle in that little in the store by the ferry landing at the front of World Showcase as well.
Awesome.
The names are great too, right?
Yeah. Once Upon a Vine. Once Upon a Vine, The Lost Slipper, Once Upon a Vine, The Ferris Chardonnay.
Oh, they'd be great gifts.
Once Upon a Vine, A Charming Pinot, and Once Upon a Vine, The Big Bad Red Blend.
That's good stuff.
It's good stuff. Very inventive.
I hope it tastes as good as the name sound.
Yeah.
Maybe that was my mistake. I didn't take the wine to go with the cheese, but hey, no.
That's where you messed up.
Well, that's because I was thinking about the next one.
When in the Land of Cheese. The Brewer's Collection. Now, didn't we see another beer stand on our trip into World Showcase?
Well, yeah, but now we're a quarter of the way around, so there's got to be another one.
That refills. Okay.
Well, this is next to Germany, which these look like they're all German-style beers.
Did you guys, anybody try the grapefruit beer?
I did not, but, you know, here locally we have a Beta beer, and they do a grapefruit, which is really good. It's an IPA.
Right. See, I definitely would try that.
Maybe I'll send you some.
had a flight, and honestly, I cannot tell you what beers were in it.
No kidding.
I'd have to think they would put the grapefruit on it. But Jack, is it just a matter of being halfway around World Showcase, or just
no?
Stick
I just
out?
Don't remember. I there's so many names here, and
so
all
much stuff going on. Sure.
Oh yeah.
And these are not easy to remember. I mean, the Alten Munster Oktoberfest is one of the beers that they just normally sell at the booth right there in Germany.
All the time, right?
So, yeah, you can get that one anytime, you know, in that right next to the little crystal booth. They sell the pretzels and beer.
Well, it's so convenient because the Germany kiosk, again, another repetitive one, is right across the way from the Brewer's Collection. And I remember that was a real flavorful one as far as the... we had brats on pretzels, on the pretzel bread, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did the same thing. The roast bratwurst and
very
a pretzel
good.
Roll. Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Yeah, very definitely. Good. And they have some more beers over there, too. A lot more German sounding.
Now, I did dip into the desserts over here and did the apple strudel with the Werther's Original. That was really
yes.
I bet that's good.
We don't miss that one.
That's a good
sounds
one.
Sounds good.
They have like a warm vanilla sauce in addition to the caramel. It's delicious.
Oh, wow. Good. That sounds like overkill.
Now,
no,
it's not.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it is good. What I love about this area right here, where the Brewer's Collection is in Germany, this is in an area that used to pretty much be empty space. There used to be sort of a lawn here. In recent years, during these festivals, Disney's actually made this a permanent location with a whole bunch of high-top tables. So where these booths are, they pretty much stay there. They get covered up when there's not a fest on, but there's now a permanent sidewalk and there's seats and there's places to stand and sort of mingle a little bit between these two kiosks. So I really love the use of space back there.
Nice, nice. And that seems to stay throughout the year now too, which is awesome.
It does.
Now, moving on to Poland, which actually kind of menu-wise sounds a little bit like Germany. Surprise, yeah, right. Surprise. Now, this is also another Try-It pavilion, another Try-It kiosk. So I guess that's trying to get the kid to try the real flavorful hot dog, as in the kielbasa.
I did try the kielbasa and potato pierogi here, which wasn't bad. Onions and sour cream. It's a good little stop. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm looking at the Disney food blog pictures as we're talking, and I think I saw, even just this time, this frozen apple pie, and that did not sound very appealing. But now I have a drink that features vodka. So it's a frozen apple drink, which sounds kind of good. And the pierogi looks delicious.
That actually sounds like the LeFou's brew, if you
with
were going
vodka.
To.
Vodka.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yes. You're already like big time on that one. So perfect.
I do like that. Yeah.
There's another check mark right there. Awesome.
So what were those dates again? I think I might need to check my calendar.
I think we'll all be there October 3rd and 4th, right?
Yep.
right. I'll be there October 3rd and 4th. I leave on the 5th. They'll be there a little longer.
Right now. I tell you what, let's move on because I see a kiosk coming up that I got to get to. So let's go to Italy.
The raviolis, there's four raviolis covered in sauce in a dish. They're just phenomenal. Love them. Covered with mozzarella cheese. At the Italian margaritas, which you can get at the stand nearby, they're pretty much the same, but they're very good as well. I am always in the line for Italy. Even though some of that stuff, you know, the drinks you can get at the other places, but I don't think you can get those raviolis inside either of the restaurants. So I'm stopping for that.
Well, I'll stop and wait for you. Maybe I'll just have a beer.
Okay. I'll get you a Moretti.
I'll drink the beer.
Yep. Now, this is kind of, I would imagine, a small little cart called the American Adventure Coffee Cart. Now,
I'll give you a little heads up here. This is the Fife and Drum with a different sign on the outside of it. And they have this drink in addition to everything the Fife and Drum usually has.
Oh, so gotcha. That makes sense then.
This so we always get a Yingling.
And this is called, the name is awesome for this one, the Shaken Jamaican. It's a coffee made with Kahlua cream and vanilla and caramel.
But yeah, because I was interested in this one, and I went over to see it. Because you're right, there's only one item, which sounds a little odd, but it is
right.
The Fife and Drum with the sign on it.
I want these kiosks to offer us little like sampler cups. So we can get a big drink like this and just kind of pour it out in the samples and kind of experiment that way.
How big's your purse, Jen?
I don't carry one, but I could for this event. Just carry a few.
I like it. It's going in my backpack. That's fine.
Jen's a team player. I like it. She's like, you know what? I normally don't carry
one. I can bring some Ziplocs and some cups. And, yeah.
I like it.
I think you're looking ahead to the next booth as far as needing a couple bucks.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Hops and barley. Now, right away, I'm thinking beers, but the menu's telling me different.
You'll find plenty here. All the Sam Adams and good stuff here. But you're right. This is the grilled lobster roll with garlic herb butter. I'm all over that. All over this lobster tail. I'm sorry.
This is where the smokehouse was, right?
Yes, exactly. But this is hops and barley. So you got the grilled lobster tail, a lobster roll, clam chowder, bread pudding. Just this is great stuff. I'm looking at it. It's great.
Just as a side note, the lobster roll is absolutely the best value I've found so far to use for your snack credit on the dining plan.
Wonderful.
Oh, that is a huge value, yeah.
Isn't it like $9?
$7.50.
$7.50,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it counts as a snack, so it's a great value for a snack on the dining plan.
I have to point out here, too, I was actually looking ahead for this, thinking it was at a different booth, but last year, the Iron Horse Fairy Tale Cuvée is a Disney-only sparkling wine. And I have no idea why it's here, because this looks like sort of a New England menu, and that's from California. But I tried that for the first time in 2007 after a race, and it has been my favorite, and I kind of track it down whenever we're there. It's kind of difficult to find, but it's very, very good and worth looking for. But yeah, it's interesting to see that it was on that menu last year. I don't think I noticed it because I expected it to be at the dessert and champagne booth. But good to know. So now I know that I need to look a little harder this year if I can't find it.
That's a great tip. I got to remember that.
It's really, really good. It's kind of dry. It's very, very champagne-y. But if you like champagne, it's a very good one. And it's kind of fun because it's only available on Disney property. So.
Sam, you know what I noticed is missing from this menu?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Billy's Chili's.
Ah, I think that's a good thing. The chili beer, the pepper beer that we had at the Flower and Garden.
It was fantastic.
Okay, so now we're finishing up our lobster tail, and we're walking past the Florida Local exhibit also now, the kiosk. And just in time, guess what? They got a couple beers.
Some good ones, too. I had some of the local Florida brews here. The Sunshade Organic Pale Ale I thought was really good. One other little thing I want to point out. If you're a Chase Disney Visa card holder, because last year in 2013, the American Adventure is where the Chase Lounge was.
Let me correct you on that. Any Chase card.
Any Chase card. I thought it was just a Disney card. Perfect. Thank you, Jimmy.
No, any Chase card will get you into the Chase Lounge.
So you were up there, right, Jim?
I did. Me and my wife went up there, yep. And so, it was really neat.
What do you find up there?
First of all, it was beautiful, and it was just really neat to be up there. To be
where now, you guys are saying you were up there. Where were you up? How did you get there? How did it go?
Basically, we're talking about being on top of the American Adventure Pavilion in a VIP lounge. Now, to access it, there was an entrance sort of to the right of the main entrance to the American Adventure. There was a small canopy there that said Chase. And if you approached the canopy, showed your Chase card, any Chase card, as Jimmy mentioned, they would let you onto the elevator that would take you up into the lounge, which is really cool to be in the VIP area of one of Disney's pavilions. Really cool. A great place to, number one, get out of the heat. Number two, recharge a cell phone, recharge a camera or something along those lines. And there were some refreshments too up there, right, Jim?
There is. It's one of the big Coke machines that has the video screen in the front that you can kind of make all kind of different combinations.
Freestyle, baby. Freestyle.
Yeah, it's as much as you want, which was really nice.
Very cool. Now, the other, whenever they have these Chase centers, they have those fireworks sitting, seatings and things like that. Did they have that here?
So when I was there, you had an option. It just depended on the night you were. You didn't really have an option. Depending on the night you were there. Some nights it was a viewing area for illuminations, and some nights it was preferred seating at the concert.
And that was for any Chase card, or was that the Disney Chase card there?
No, if you were in the lounge, you could get that.
Gotcha.
As long as they weren't sold, as long as they didn't give them all away.
That's cool. I didn't know that. I just went in, had a couple of Cokes, and then needed a beer, so I left.
When you go up the elevator and get up the elevator to your left where the little charging stations and all were, there was a cast member standing up at a table right there, and they had passports. They had all kind of different little things, and she was giving those out as well.
Oh, I missed that. What was cool up there, Jim, if I remember right, they had their charging station, but they also had a cable that looked like an octopus with basically every end that you would possibly need for a cell phone. And you Absolutely. Just plug yours right into it, which is really cool. So you didn't have to have your cable to charge it. You just went right in there and boom, there you go.
Yeah, that's great. We're seeing more and more of those around the parks. It's awesome.
It was fun.
And I'll tell you another thing. That's probably the nicest restrooms in all Disney World.
Padded seats?
No, I don't know. I didn't have a seat, but I just walk it in. I don't know if it's just because they don't get used much. I don't know.
I'm sure they don't. There was some great scenery up there, some great views looking out of the windows across World Showcase Lagoon. I spent the entire time up there taking pictures. I really did.
It's nice to see that second, another view of some of the things you've seen before from a different angle. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, can we go to Japan now? I want to go to Japan.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you again real fast.
Please. Oh, I was almost there.
I know. Always somebody trying
to. No, I need a stamp. I got to go back to Florida local.
Okay. Well, let's hang out. You go get your stamp. We'll listen to Jen.
No, I was going to say, Jimmy mentioned the special concert seating. Do we want to talk about that? There's the Eat to the Beat concert series during the Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, that's true. There must be between sets because I didn't hear anything over there. But
yeah, but there's actually an official lineup. So I feel like we should at least take a look at who's going to be there.
Awesome. Do you have that in front of you?
I do. Nope. Yes. So this starts in September, goes all the way through November, the same dates as the Food and Wine Festival itself, and that can be found on the Disney website. But it looks like Jody Messina, the Pointer Sisters, Rick Springfield, Christopher Cross, Hansen, Air Supply, Starship, with Mickey Thomas, I guess is one of the original members,
right.
Sugar Ray, Fuel, Sister Hazel, Billy Ocean, Night Ranger, Smash Mouth, Jim Brickman, Los Lonely Boys, Wilson Phillips, Dennis DeYoung, who is original member of Styx, 38 Special, Boys to Men, David Cook, and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, which, if you ask me, is all over the place, which I think is really cool. Something for everybody.
Yeah, very cool. Much so.
Yep,
it is cool. And so those shows happen in the evening, part of the evening entertainment. Now, typically, they each have three sets.
I think about 20 minutes.
Well, it depends on who it is, from what I found. Yeah. Some go longer than others, but they're timed just like all of World Showcase's entertainment. So you could potentially bop around and see different things and hit booths and make it to one of the shows. Now, I know a couple of these I've seen before, like Dennis DeYoung. He does a completely different set each time, and it's great.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of them get the fans involved, and there tends to be a lot of people waiting for the shows, and they do clear the concert venue between those performances. So you'll find people lined up listening to the first set. When the first set's over, they empty the concert venue and then let people in that are waiting. I found that it's just as good to hang out around these booths we just talked about, Hops and Barley and Florida Local and the American Adventure Cart, whatever it is, and just listen to it there. You can hear it fine.
Sure. Definitely. I haven't sat at one of the concerts in a long time, but you can definitely hear it wherever you are.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Hanson does not change their setup each time.
So I will tell you, I've seen Hanson, and I recorded Hanson specifically so that I could send it to you, Jimmy. So I am going to do it. When I think about as many times as I've been there, and this changes every year, by the way, there's new people and people drop off and get added. I have so much video of different performers back there, whether it was for Flower and Garden or whether it was for Food and Wine. I really need to do a video about that. But I do have a bop for you.
Fantastic.
Cool. Okay, so where are we going to go next?
Sounds like you want to go to Japan.
Let's go.
Japan, how about that? Yeah, let's move over to there. Now, I saw something over here that kind of looked good, but I really wouldn't know until I actually saw it. The chicken hand roll. Other than that, it looks like the basic sushi type stuff. Okay, so as we drink through Japan, we're going to move on to Morocco. Now, Morocco, again, it seems a little redundant having the country inside a World Showcase. However, it does look like they have a couple things in here that seem pretty specific. Maybe to try sometime.
I would be very, very surprised if Morocco's back this year with Spice Road Table there now.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jimmy. I wonder if they'll change this up.
Between Tangerine Cafe and now Spice Road Table, a Moroccan booth would be like triple redundant.
And I was going to say the baklava is excellent, but it's the same as you get inside Tangerine Cafe. And each of those items at, you know, $4 or $5 a piece, to me, aren't any better than the shawarma platters that are like $9 inside Tangerine Cafe. So it just doesn't seem like they're different enough to try when you're right next to Tangerine Cafe and, like you said, now Spice Road Table.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's keep on moving before we sit down and want to stay, and let's move to New Zealand. It looks next. Now, this is another Try Me place, so they must have some good things here for kids. I'm not a big mussel fan, so I don't think I'm going to try that.
I'm trying it. I love mussel. They were good. I did like them. You didn't get many of them, but again, it's a small plate.
I was going to say, interesting
sausage is good.
That's going to say, interestingly, the lamb meatball and the venison sausage both sound good. The steamed green lip mussels sound kind of scary. So that's surprising that that's where the Try Me logo falls. So maybe I'm not as adventurous as I thought. That might be on my list for next time.
Awesome. Maybe you just don't like mussels with green lips.
This is true.
Well, as we keep moving around the World Showcase, we come up to the Belgium kiosk. And this looks pretty much straightforward. Potato and leek waffle, braised beef. I do remember that from the year before, I believe. Maybe not. Maybe it was something similar.
I got to tell you, though, this booth, Belgium, and the Belgium waffles has one of the longest lines in the evening of any of the kiosks. Everyone wants a Belgium waffle with some ice cream and strawberries. At least that's what it seems like. And it looks pretty good. I've never waited in a line.
Well, it sounds delicious, but it sounds like something you can get another time.
Now, right next to Belgium, we have France, which is the same in the world. And I don't know if I would even stop at the France kiosk. Did you guys ever stop here? I'm not a big escargot fan.
That's the only reason I stopped, to try escargot.
Okay. And?
I did not.
And I'm not stopping again.
It's just like garlicly, rubbery things. I mean,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Isn't it just like eating clams?
I would eat clams again.
Gotcha.
But it's you know, that's a personal preference. They're good. I'm sure they're cooked perfectly, but there are plenty of other places that I'd go to again before I went back to France Fresh Guard.
Right. And the next kiosk, the next country, Ireland, is definitely probably one of those. I've heard so many good things about this. The lobster and the seafood fisherman's pie.
Oh, the fisherman's pie is phenomenal. Yeah. Yes, very good.
That sounds like something I got a check mark here. Very cool. Yeah, it's kind of sad we're working our way around World Showcase. We're almost done.
You can also get a Guinness in Ireland, too, which is always good to grab. Or an Irish coffee.
Or an Irish car bomb. Have you ever had an Irish car bomb?
No.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a Guinness with a shot of Bailey's and
whiskey.
Jameson whiskey mixed together.
Yep. Oh, Bailey's. Wow.
Half Bailey's, half Jameson, dropped in a pint of Guinness.
Yeah, you drop the shot glass in and drink it. Not that I've ever done it, but
that actually sounds appealing.
No, because it gets like thick. I've ever done
thicker
it either.
Than Guinness.
But yeah, it gets like solid. It's disgusting.
If it was any thicker than Guinness,
you know, like Sam said, I've only seen it.
It would freeze up. There was a bridal party when we were there in April. In Rose and Crown, they lined up on the bar and they were all doing them.
Oh, very cool.
Well, how about warm chocolate pudding with Bailey's custard? That sounds pretty good. I've not had that, but it sounds good.
I would actually like to try the mead honey wine. Just because I've always heard of it, I think it would be something to try. Yeah, okay, Ireland, it's on the list. Now we're moving to a country that I will stop at this kiosk every time. It's the easiest way to get some of that cheddar cheese soup that they have over in Les Celiers.
Oh, a moose head.
Or a filet.
I did hear the filets were pretty good.
A small piece. So what's the price of the filet versus the lobster roll that we talked about and the value? Is this a snack credit too, Jimmy? Do you know?
I do not know.
I'm looking at the menu from 13, and they are both listed as snack credits. The lobster roll and the lobster tail were $7.50. The wild mushroom beef filet is $7, but both snack credits. So great values.
Right. That's where I'm going if I have a snack credit. Now, but keep in mind, this is a small piece of filet. It's probably 3 ounces, 2.5 ounces. It's not a lot, but it is good with some mushrooms. Oh, phenomenal.
Awesome. And some cheddar cheese soup.
Get them both.
Seriously, that's the entree of the night right there.
I was looking at my photographs that I took around World Showcase while we were going through this, and I should point out that there were many food and wine marketplaces as we went around, which are just locations, festival shops, places where you can buy merchandise, lots of bottles of wine and things like that. But they're all over World Showcase.
Now we're going to hit a country that I didn't see in 2012, so I'm assuming it's new, Greece. Which also has a try it icon, so this definitely has some kid-friendly items. And Greece, gyros automatically stick out to me, but I'd like to try something different over there.
I love tzatziki sauce, so I could definitely do the gyro.
I love Greek food. We love spanakopita. I've had that there at least once. I feel like it might have been there the year before, but maybe I had it more than once on the last trip. The tzatziki sauce is delicious. Yeah, I could stop here more than once. So I did not have the calamari, but I like it in general. So maybe that'll be on my next stop.
Okay, well, it looks like we're pulling around to the end of our night. We've only got a couple more kiosks left, so let's make sure we pick some good food and drinks for the rest of it. The refreshment port is coming up, which seems like I don't want to say that. The name doesn't have any imagination to it.
Well, it's the little restaurant that's always there.
True.
Right. That's just what they call it all year round.
So this was exactly – this is the big addition last year, right? They went to 30 instead of 29. They added the refreshment port. So the refreshment port is the little stand that's always been there, not far from Canada, sort of as you walk across towards Imagination. So they made it part of Food and Wine.
Is this the place you can get Dole Whips?
During the festival, yes.
Right.
Yeah. This is actually my new favorite. Hidden gem at Epcot. It is the place that during the year you can get Cronuts, which Disney doesn't call Cronuts because it's trademarked. It's donut croissants or croissant donuts or something that doesn't infringe on trademarks. But they also have sometimes these like jalapeno chicken poppers. They sort of have a rotating menu of things that no one to know about but are always delicious. And I'm looking, I somehow missed orange Dole Whip with creme de cacao white, so like a white chocolate kind of like a liqueur sauce or something on it that sounds amazing. So I don't know. I think that one might be worth checking out.
Wow, even that last drink, a frozen dragonberry colada featuring Bacardi dragonberry rum.
I don't even know what dragonberry is, but that sounds amazing.
It does.
So one thing that's really, really interesting about the refreshment port is they put another booth there now, but for Flower and Garden, it was the Pineapple Promenade, and they just called it Pineapple Soft Serve with Meyer's Dark Rum or Pineapple Soft Serve with Parrot Bay Coconut Rum. So they did not use Dole Whip. It's just Pineapple Soft Serve.
Gotcha.
That's right.
Some great ideas for the Magic Kingdom as far as drinks go.
Yeah. Right.
So, but it'll be interesting, Jimmy, to see if they bring the name Dole Whip back or not, or just call it Pineapple Soft Serve. Interesting.
As we continue on, we're going to go somewhere not too far away from what we just came from, desserts and champagne. Sounds like another extravagant booth.
Come on, Ed, let's skip the dessert and champagne booth.
I was like thinking the same thing kind of because I want to move on to Hawaii because I'm definitely not done eating.
Yeah, this is where Jen's helping us out and keeping us on.
It's
frozen s'mores.
That
kind of sticks out.
No, honestly, I do not remember having anything specific here except for being disappointed that I could not find the fairy tale cuvée. But you better believe that I will be keeping an eye on this one for 2014.
Yeah, no, it sounds like some really cool offerings. It's a little different.
Chocolate orange cupcakes, hazelnut chocolate cupcakes. This sounds good.
Yeah, maybe we'll come back here after we hit the next couple of booths.
No Piggylicious cupcake, though.
Ew.
No bacon cupcakes, darn it. I'm out then. I'm going to Hawaii. Come on, let's go.
Get your stamp and we'll move on to Hawaii. Now, the pork slider I've heard is awesome, and I would definitely go for
that. Yes. It's the best.
I bet. I've never had it, but I've never had it.
Sounds amazing.
It is.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about it. The Kona Brewing Company's Big Wave Golden Ale. Just the name itself sounds really good, too. So I might have to have a beer and a slider in Hawaii.
They have an Alani Sunrise with Ocean Vodka, a tuna poke. Pretty much everything on this menu sounds outstanding.
Yeah, you're right.
Especially this summer, I don't know. It sounds like when you go for the Food and Wine Festival in the fall, maybe a way to hang on to summer a little bit.
I'm not sure how Gewürztraminer is Hawaiian, which is a very, very good. There's a very good wine called Gewürztraminer. Yeah, there's a very good wine my wife loves that's called Gewürztraminer, but it's probably, I didn't think it was Hawaiian.
Maybe it's got a taste that kind of matches up to something specific.
Maybe so. Maybe it's just paired, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still seems odd.
It does seem
odd. Shouldn't this be backed by American Adventure somewhere? I mean, this is Hawaii.
Didn't you know Hawaii was right next to Scotland?
And next to the dessert and champagne country.
Right.
Sure.
Sure. It's across the way from cheese.
Right.
But on the way, let's hit Scotland. Now, Scotland doesn't really hit me as anything majorly good here. I could be wrong, of course. I'd have to see. Well, it's vegetarian haggis, so it's not even haggis, really.
So there's two vegan things on this menu, and then a seared Scottish salmon, which is interesting that it has two vegan things. It's more vegan than anything else, because directly the next closest booth to it would be the Terra booth.
It is kind of odd, and I never really thought of Scotland as being such a vegetable-based place.
No, you think meat, meat.
Yeah, definitely. But again, something to try out. And it looks like some of the drink offerings are not that bad either. Can't really knock scotch.
Hey, Sam, look at that. We're right back at the craft beer booth.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
for your second flight. You don't have to decide.
So let me tell you some of these. The year before last, they had the Leinenkugel's Berry Weiss, which I think is even better than the seasonal shandy.
Is that the one that when you open it, it smells like a blueberry muffin?
Almost, yeah. And it, when you pour it.
Wow.
The next one on here was the Abita Brewing which is the local beer. It's a local beer here in New Orleans. Fall Fest, which wasn't a bad beer, but the year before they had Purple Haze, which is a much better beer. That's the only two that really stood out, except for maybe the Torpedo Extra IPA, which I probably drink the whole thing because my wife won't drink an IPA.
Smart woman. She has good taste.
Yeah, she drinks like Bud Light.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, you know, I'm like the adventurous one. She's like, she's getting more and more adventurous, but she does not like IPAs.
So we finally made it back to the beginning of World Showcase. We started by talking about the craft beers, and we're back to it again. That was a great review, guys. Thanks for taking me on a 2013 Food and Wine review. For our listeners, look forward to a Food and Wine Part 2 show. Once Walt Disney World finalizes their plans and schedules for the Food and Wine this year, we're going to come back on with another show and discuss some of the differences that they had between 2013 and what we can expect for 2014. As we're all going to be down there, we're very much going to be looking and planning to hit some of those booths that we definitely want to get to, and we'd want you to come along. So, as a reminder, we said in the beginning of the show we're probably going to have a meet that weekend, so stay tuned for more information about that. So, again, thank you everybody for listening. This has been show number 40. If you'd like to email us or ask us any questions, or actually even want to come on the show, send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. If you want to join us on Facebook, we have two pages. We have the Disney Nerds podcast page, and we also have the Disney Nerds group page. Definitely either one's a fun place to be. The Disney Nerds group has a lot of great discussions going on every day, every minute of the day almost. So join us over there. For my co-hosts, Jimmy, Jen, Sam, and this is Ed, we want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Kungaloosh.
Kungaloosh.
Baharini.
Bye.
Let me sing you off to sleep as you digest. Tonight you'll prop your feet up, but for now let's heat up the arcade.